Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, coworker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Warning.
The show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host, and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. The heart of the matter is, in fact, everything. Yes, you are, and I trust that you're certainly listening to tonight's broadcast and all the broadcasts that I put out there. And I trust that all of you all that are listening will always find your heart of the matter. All right, we've got a great show planned for you tonight. As I said, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We would love to hear, if you're a first-time caller and you have a thought in mind relative to tonight's broadcast, we would love to, really love to hear from you, give you an opportunity to express your thoughts, your views on something relative to tonight's topic. So we're going to be doing the show in a few minutes. I'll be reading a story. We're going to be discussing that in a very few minutes. But before we get going with that, I just want to reach out to you all to let you know. Go into my website at drjessewalker.com, browse it, and see whatever you can find on there that may be of interest to you. And I encourage you to do that. And find something that you just might want to purchase. Look at all the services that we offer. So go to drjessewalker.com, or if you have a question or comment for any of our shows, or if you have a show in mind, call us at 954-367-6766, 954-367-6766. We're standing by to take your call. All right, having said that, we're going to go in and welcome my co-host, in maybe dry or hot or cold Atlanta, Georgia. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show.
Hello, Dr. Walker. How are you?
I'm doing great. I trust that you are as well.
Yes, I am. It's a beautiful day here in Atlanta, in the 70s, so it's been a good day.
Oh, good. I'm very happy to hear that. At this time, Ms. Blake, why don't you go ahead and reach out to the people and let them know the exciting things, how your book signing went the other day. And, in fact, I want to know myself.
Well, I just was going to start out by thanking the listeners that happen to be in the Atlanta, Georgia area. I'd like to thank those of you for your support, those of you who stopped by. Whether you purchased a book or we just had a great conversation, I'd like to thank you for that. I also, many people sent lots of well wishes via social media, Facebook. I'm on Facebook as Audrey B. Life Coach. And again, that's Audrey B. That's the first name, and Life being the last name. So it went quite well, and there definitely will be some others occurring in Atlanta and surrounding areas.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. So if they want to reach out and give you a call, how do they do that?
They can call the company's main line, which is 770-866-2162. Again, that's 770-866-2162. Or they can go to the company website, which is fosteringleaders.org, fosteringleaders, FosterLeadership.org. The company's name is Foster Leadership and You, also known as FLY. And as I say every week, I'm available for speaking, seminar, services, workshops, and of course, I am a professionally certified life coach and will be glad to provide that service to you as well. That's
okay.
It, Dr. Walker.
Very good. Very good. We're so happy about that. Thank you for sharing that with our audience. We're going to go right to the story in about 30 seconds. We're going to go right to the story. Ms. Blake, let me just ask you this question. You've been with me now for at least 2 years. Maybe about 2 years, is that right?
Almost two. It's coming up on 2 years. That's correct.
Coming up on 2 years. Do you feel, I feel strongly that we're reaching the masses of the individuals out there. Sometimes, I'm on this end and you're on that end. And I can honestly tell you that your contribution makes a significant difference to this broadcast.
Thank you.
I think that the people are definitely being blessed as a result of listening to the varied opinions that we express over the air.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Walker, and certainly you do a profound and great work in hosting this show. My goal is just to, one, keep it real, and also, provoke people to think for themselves. And, folks may not always agree with my opinion, and that's okay, but it gets them thinking and talking. And then at the end of the day, we want to point people in some positive direction. So, we have our fun. We use humor as well. But at the end of the day, we really do want to help people make good decisions.
I'm glad that you mentioned or said what you said, and that is that you're keeping it real and it's thought-provoking. And that sometimes people don't understand that, because that's the dynamic that I'm trying to also come from, is just basically get you to come outside the box in terms of your thinking. And I'm sure that that's what you're trying to get the people to do, because, even with the Socratic, what they call the Socratic method, where how lawyers mm-hmm. learn, they learn through questioning. And sometimes it's within those questions that people actually find answers. It's within those questions. So that becomes very important. That becomes very important. So it's, that provocation. That provocation is so important. So that's
yes,
what we
Dr.
are.
Walker.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yes, and another role is to really help people to, again, be real with themselves. I frequently say that people want to give the correct answer, the church answer, and yes, that is important. But if we don't keep it real in terms of saying, I struggle with this, then you have other people listening that struggle also. And so by not pretending to always be so perfect and admitting that, yeah, this is a flaw, this is something I deal with or I've dealt with before, then it gives other people permission to deal with it and realize they're not alone.
Okay, interesting. All right, let's go ahead and go to tonight's story. Our characters in tonight's story are Vicky and Willis. Vicky and Willis. Enough is enough. This was Vicky's final cry to her husband, Willis. After 3 years of marriage, Vicky has decided to divorce Willis for his disrespectful ways to her by constantly not only showing signs of lusting outside their marriage, but acting on a number of his disrespectful behaviors. Willis insists he loves Vicky with all his heart. He insists that he loves her with all his heart, and others can testify to this by demonstration of his public affection to his wife. However, no matter how hard he tries to show respect, he finds that it is very difficult for him to stop looking and lusting after other women. Now, marital counseling has only been a joke for this couple, because Willis talks happily about his affairs during the sessions, while Vicky fights the tears from her pain. He has confessed to her, he has actually confessed to having 3 affairs over the course of their dating period and their marriage, but feels that his problem is inherited from his father, who had the same problem. Vicky refuses to buy into this lie and feels that she has accepted, forgiven, tolerated, and now desires to move on with her life, hopefully someday with someone who will love her and show respect for her without the roaming and lustful behavior demonstrated by Willis. Now, Willis is now fighting to do everything possible to save his marriage. The question is that we start out with tonight, is it a little too late for his efforts? Is it a little too late for his efforts? Ms. Blake, I mean, Vicki and Willis got some problems. I mean, this guy has gone out and had 3 affairs on her during the course of their dating period and their marriage. I mean, is it too late? I mean, she's had enough. Enough is enough. Is it too late?
Well, number one, it's never too late, but I'm going to keep it real once again. yeah, this couple is in trouble. And, you know, I look at the core of really, because Ricky was sitting in counseling session basically bragging about his conquest. It's been
That's a pattern of behavior.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Willis. And, and he was bragging about his conquest. It's been a pattern in his behavior. I'm not really sure he even wants to change. I mean, I write about him in my book. He's called Mr. Right. He wants the best of both worlds, and he's just trying not to lose her. But, you know, you have to look at why is he doing everything to save the marriage? Because she's fed up and he realized he's about to lose her, not necessarily because he truly wants to change.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it is serious. It is serious. I mean, Vicki is hurt. I mean, she's already tolerated, forgiven. And, I mean, now this guy, I mean, do you think that he's really lying about his, you know, inheriting this from his father? And even if so, I mean, is that like a lame excuse?
Well, one, I don't think he's lying. I think he may be a smarter man than we give him credit for, because most people don't realize that's what's going on in some instances. And I know there are going to be those who disagree with me out there, but genetics does run very strongly. But the thing about it is we still make a conscious choice of what we do on a daily basis. And I think she's right to leave.
Okay, all right. And, you know, you asked the question, why is he trying to save the marriage now? I think, and that's a good question, I think he may be attempting to try to save his marriage now because he obviously realized what he had in the wife of Vicki. And he knows that, you know what, chances are, this woman has already forgiven him, knowing that he's had 3 affairs on her, on their marriage. And she's tolerated that. She's forgiven that. But then now she's saying enough is enough. So chances are he knows no other woman will tolerate this foolishness. And so, you know, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's time for her to move on. We're going to ask you to hold your thoughts, Ms. Blake. We're going to go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to 205-908. Who do we have on the air? And welcome.
This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Thank you for joining us this evening,
Jack. Hi,
Jack.
Hi, Ms. Blake and Dr. Jesse. Happy to be on the show. Yes.
Great. Jack, tell us, what do you think? I mean, here's a guy that's had 3 affairs. I mean, tonight's topic, we're talking about how lusting. This is tonight's topic. How lusting outside of your relationship or marriage leads to destruction. Here this guy, he has these roaming eyes. He looks at everything. He disrespects his wife. She's tolerated this. And she's even forgiven him for having 3 affairs during their dating period and while they were married. But he's blaming it on the fact that his father was like that and he can't help himself. What do you think, Jack? You know, the question is it a little, and he's trying to save his marriage. Ms. Blake says it's never too late, but she's going to keep it real. And I agree with her in terms of, you know what, it's time for her to move on.
Well, I want to say that Ms. Blake said that a lot of people won't agree with her that it's genetically instilled in him, but I agree with her. I believe that, you know, like father, like son, or like mother, like daughter, or whatever. So I believe that as a result of what he picked up from his dad, he's doing the same thing and all. But I like what she said also. She said that now he can make a conscious effort not to go down that road. It's by choice. We all have choices to make, and that we can tell that he's making the wrong choice. But, you know, there's many Willises that are out there, and I've met a number of them, and I hear people talking about the Willises and all and how they sow their oats, so to speak, with other women, even though they're married. And one guy had the audacity to say that, well, she knew what she was getting when she married me. He just boldly came out and made that statement because he had not only the wondering eyes, but, you know, he was basically sowing his oats and doing what he felt like he wanted to do. I mean, this guy's 50-something years old now. I mean, it's never, I've said this before, it's never an excuse for adultery, but sometimes we feel that we're justified by, you know, the things that we do. Maybe we're not getting the loving, the feelings that we should supposed to be getting at home, so we feel that we need to step on the outside. But if you look at it in hindsight, you realize that it's never a reason for adultery. But I agree with what you guys are saying and all. I mean, maybe it's time for, I mean, he feels, just like you said, he feels now that, you know, he really wants her because he knows what he has. He doesn't know what he's going to get, even though he's sowing his oats, so to speak, and all. But he just is having a good time. But he really wants to keep what he has at home there because he knows he's not going to be able to find another person like that. Now, that's my take on this situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jack, let me ask you this. Should Vicky, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, recognizing, I mean, her cup obviously has run over now. Even though he's trying to fight for the marriage with everything that he has, should she really give him another chance to hurt her again?
Well, you know, I'm a proponent of believing that, you know, God doesn't give up on us, and then, you know, you don't give up on someone maybe first, second time or whatever. You give him, you know, a couple chances and all, but if he's continuously showing the same pattern, doing the same thing over and over again, then, you know, your cup is going to run over. Yeah, I mean, your cup is already full up to the top now, to the brim. So now it may be at that time. You would know. Just like I know when I have enough with being a principal when I have to deal with the school board. You would know when you've had enough. And then you say, well, it's time for me. I'm out of here. So she would know. The Lord will reveal it to her. She would know when she's had enough and then it's time for her to move on. I'm not saying this is the time, but she will definitely know.
Okay. Well, then, Jack, in that case, I mean, he's had three affairs on her. Ms. Blake, let me pose this question to you before we go to the phone lines once again. Could enough be enough? You let him back in another time, and now he brings a sexually transmitted disease. Ms. Blake, what do you think?
Right, that can happen. That's been known to happen. You know, but I really agree with what Jack said, and I definitely have had some personal experience. You do know when enough is enough, and it may not be this third time, and no one should be. I mean, I quickly said, you know, she should leave. But she'll know when, you know, the third time, the fourth time, maybe even the second time, you know, when it's enough. Because it comes a point where, you know, I can just say personally, you've experienced so much, you keep finding stuff out, and then it comes a point where you say, you don't even need to know anything else. You know enough to know it's over.
That's right. Wow.
Well, what about, you know, the fact that love conquers all. I mean, Jack, what do you think? I mean, shouldn't love just conquer all? And she says, well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say love is more than just sex. You know, I mean, love is a principle. Love is a principle, and God is the one that instills into us this love. I mean, that there's no match for the agape love that comes, you know, from God, that he gives us to the love our fellow man. But then, of course, we have that, I think there's Arius love for the husband and the wife and all. But the love that we have in us, when you say love conquers all, that's the love that comes from God and all. She will know, again, she will know when her cup runs over. I definitely feel that way.
All right. We would love to hear your comments on tonight's topic, how lusting outside your relationship leads to destruction. Ms. Blake, let me ask you before we go to the phone lines again. How do you think that lusting outside your relationship could lead to destruction? And then, Jack, I'll pose that question to you as well.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about that one. Okay.
Yeah, it leads to temptation, particularly if you're already having some issues in a relationship or a marriage. You know, then the person can start wondering, well, I wonder what they're like. Or they start thinking the grass really may be greener on the other side. So they may not put forth the effort, continue to work on the problems within the relationship, because relationships take work. But if they're, you know, focusing on someone outside the marriage, you may be thinking, well, it could work with them, or I wonder what it would be like with them. They may not put forth that effort to build their relationship or marriage, and it ultimately will destroy it.
Okay. All right. Jack, give us your take on it, please.
I agree with what Ms. Blake said. I definitely agree with what she said. But I think if you start lusting for someone, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you can lust just by, you know, just like Ms. Blake was saying, you're looking at someone else and, you know, you're thinking all these thoughts in your mind. You know, I wish I had her. I wish I was with her. I think you had a program last week when the couples were dating with other couples and all, and then eventually they kind of like fell in love with the other couple and that kind of thing. So you need to spend more time with that significant other, that mate of yours and all. And you got to keep the romance in the man. You got to keep that in it. And a lot of times, you know, after we get married and all, we tend to slip a little bit by not putting all the effort into it like we did before we got that partner. And that's what caused a marriage to go in a different direction and all. But you got to rekindle that. You got to rekindle that fire that you had in the beginning and all. So I think both parties, and we said this before on your air, they have to give it 100%. Both parties are giving 100%, not one giving 50, another one giving 50. They both have to give 100% at all. Because I tell you, if you don't do your part as far as keeping the romance, keeping all that loving and romance within the marriage, there's something that's going to happen. Now, I'm not saying go outside the marriage. I'm definitely not saying that. But I'm saying try to make the wife feel like a queen and she make him feel like a king. And don't complain all the time and nag all the time. Just try to come together and compromise and do what you're supposed to do as a husband and wife team.
Now, I think that is very, very important, Jack, what you said, that, you know, sometimes people take it for granted to leave the romance out of a relationship. And I think that they need to take stock of that. And so one of the ways to do that, in my opinion, is to just make sure that you set up a date night. And don't go more than 2 weeks without having your date night, you know, unless there are extenuating circumstances that are coming into play. All right, we're welcoming some of the comments. We're going to go to the phone lines once again and ask, basically, in reference to tonight's stories, do you think that we're going to go to 954-22, looks like 226. Who do we have on here with us this evening? Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thanks for joining us this evening. Rose, what do you think about, do you agree that how lusting outside the relationship could lead to destruction?
I agree with everything I've heard so far. In addition, I wanted to add that when someone starts lusting outside of the relationship, it seems like they find everything wrong with their spouse.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
No longer can the spouse do anything right. So, because that person's mind is outside of the relationship, it's with someone else, someone who he or she thinks is the perfect person for them, because they're maybe the way they look, the way they walk, the way they talk, whatever. So now, at home, it's no longer pleasing. So they'll find everything wrong, and then that creates a problem in the marriage at home. And there starts arguments, and, you know, it can just fester into a whole big thing. So that's one of the ways I think lusting outside of the relationship can hurt your marriage. I think Willis still has some growing to do. I think my opinion is that he's not grown up as yet. He's still trying to sow his wild oats, as they would always say men do. He's trying to play the field. And I think his ego is what's kicking in right now, or that might be kicking in right now, why he's fighting so hard for his relationship. He just can't seem to accept the fact that his wife wants to leave him. Hey, he is the person. He is the man. How could she want to leave him? So I think it might be that his ego is kicking in, and he's fighting for the relationship because he can't stand the fact that she's leaving him. Or he could very well love her, and although he plays around out there, this is who he really wants to be with, because he knows that this is a good woman and he doesn't want to lose her. And like I heard someone said earlier, that he knows that no one else is going to put up with this nonsense that he's given off. But she has for this period of time, and so he don't want to lose her. So when he goes around and play around, he knows that he's coming back home to somebody, you know. But I think that it's time for her to wake up. I think she needs to get out of there and save herself, because her self-esteem is going to start going down if she continues to just forgive him and let him use her like that. I think she needs to do herself a favor.
All right. Rose, I think that you touched on a number of important points, and I tend to agree with all that you've said this evening. I think that that is a very, very good observation. When you start, especially when you start out and you say that, when you start lusting outside your relationship, now you're looking at people tend to look at that person that they're lusting after or getting involved with, and then they start to comparing their significant other, and it seems as if their significant other can't do anything right now. So that's one of the dangers, and that's where the destruction, I agree with you, that's where the destruction is going to ultimately lead in, and then you'll find that you're going to have even bigger problems. Just before we go back to the phone lines, Ms. Blake, I want to say that next week's topic is going to be, and Jack, I want you to hear this, because, Ms. Blake, you brought that in about the grass being greener on the other side. The next week's topic is, in fact, going to be, could the grass be greener on the other side? Could the grass be greener on the other side? I mean, we're going to really keep it real. So those of you all that are tuning in tonight, next week's topic is going to be, could the grass be greener on the other side? Because there have been situations where relationships have left their significant other, and they've gone to the other side, and seems like it's working out, you know, in some cases, maybe small number of cases, but there are some of those cases that are the exception and not the rule. Jack, how do you, you know, just give me a tidbit on that. What do you think, Jack? You think that's only temporary when they cross that line and cross over to the other side, thinking that the grass is green, and find out that...
Well, you said this part here. You said that not everybody that you marry is your spouse. Or
right.
your God-given spouse and all. So I
right.
tend to agree with that and all. But now if you're in a situation now, you don't just dump a person because you feel that's not your spouse, but you got to work at it. You got to try to work at it, and you give it 100%, and they give it 100% as well. But let me just say this part here, and I like what Mr. Blake says all the time about keeping it real. Now, all of us, they said, I think I shared this before, every man has had a Delilah in his life, and every woman has had a Samson. But when you start lusting, see, that's going to be a problem there, because that's like an addiction. It's like an addiction. And you are no match for the enemy when you parlay on his territory. So if he's going to put that thought in your mind, as I said earlier, as you think, so is you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So once you start lusting, which becomes an addiction, it's going to be very difficult to get. You can't overcome that by your own self. It's going to take God. That's the. I'm just keeping it real. That's the only way that you can overcome that addiction. It's just like drugs or alcohol or money or sex or whatever. The more you do it, the more you're going to want to. And you may even try to stop, but you can't do it on your own. So I say to anybody that's out there that's lusting like that, and you have a significant other, then you need to go to God and ask Him to help you to be an overcomer.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, Jack, that's very interesting what you presented. We're going to take some of the comments shortly that have come into the studio. And Ms. Blake has started out earlier by saying also that these addictions, because she talked about, you know, generic behaviors.
Right.
These behaviors can be real. I mean, serious. And it goes not only, there's an inheritance in that. So part of what Willis was saying earlier to Vicky, you know, what he was saying to her was, you know, my father had this problem,
that's
and
right.
now I have it, and maybe I can't help myself. And, Jack, I think you alluded to that as well, saying that, you know, Willis may be on point. He's trying to say this is what's happening. And then Vicky doesn't fully understand But, you know, still, enough is enough because she's got to look out for her safety and her security and her protection. But these addictions, just like you're saying, and once you start that lusting, it's not an easy thing. And I'm glad you brought that spiritual
right.
factor into it because, Jack, I agree with you. You know, it's going to
right.
take God, an act of God, to get you to turn that life around because, I mean, you done stepped out here on the enemy's territory now, and it's not so easy to come back.
I want to interject with my use of the term lusting is because, you know, I've heard people say, you know, if you just look at somebody and want them, then you just, you know, God awful. And I don't fully agree with that. I'm not talking about you look at a person and say, he's fine.
That's
you
right.
know, okay, that's just mm-hmm. a fact, you know. But I'm talking
right.
about when you start wanting that person and
yeah.
that person causes arousal within you and then you start plotting of how you can be in the break room at the same time at work or, you know what I'm saying? That's
mm-hmm.
a whole different level, and that's
mm-hmm.
what I'm referring to.
Right, I agree. Mm-hmm.
And if I may say, you know, the Bible talks about that desire begins in your mind. You know,
yeah,
you start thinking about it,
and mm-hmm.
before you know it, that's all you
mm-hmm.
can think about. You want it. You
mm-hmm.
want that person.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you,
mm-hmm.
Ms. Blake, that the lusting is actually desiring that person to go further than just seeing
right.
that person out there, you know. And then you start to have the desire, and before you know it, you even start daydreaming about what it might be like. You know,
exactly.
to be with that person. Yeah.
And God help you start thinking about them when you're with your partner. Then you're really in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree with you. You start thinking about them when you're with your significant other. That is serious. That is serious. Well, let me ask you all two things here. One, how do you avoid getting caught up into the lust? And then even if you're now, and Jack, I know you said earlier, if you are, it's going to take an act of God. But do you go to your significant other and tell them, say, look, I you know what, I'm guilty of lusting, but I haven't acted on the behavior. You know, so the first one, let's pose it to you, Ms. Blake, first. How do you avoid lusting? And secondly, do you go to your significant other in a truthful and honest way and let them know that you're guilty of it?
I say no. Now, that's my opinion. And as a woman, I would not want my man to tell me. Because then that just brings all kind of suspicion. What I do want him to do is, like Jack talked about, prayer and really making a conscious effort to address that thing. But, no, you don't need to tell me because now you're creating a problem that doesn't quite exist yet and you might not have done anything yet, but now I'm suspect. So that's just my opinion.
Okay, but then, Ms. Blake, just before we go to Jack and then we'll ask Rose the same question and then we'll start taking some comments. Let me ask you this here now. If he feels that the truth will set him free and he wants to, he wants his freedom to become, that he's telling you so that his spirit can be at peace. And he wants to say, he's like, baby, I got something I need to tell you. I've been dying to tell you this. And, you know, now what about that?
Me,
like that, right?
Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to keep it real again. And I'm only talking
okay.
about myself. Okay,
right.
If I was in that circumstance and it was my husband or my significant other, he needs to go see a shrink or somebody, a life coach. Now, he needs to call you up, Dr. Walker.
Okay.
That's not going to work well with me because then
okay.
it's going to arouse some insecurity that I don't need. You know, so if you haven't actually done the act and you're thinking about it, then put that stuff in check and go talk to Dr. Walker about it.
Okay, even before he gives my office a call, let's just say if he's saying, baby, there's something I got to tell you, but you don't know what it is. And so when he presents that, I need to talk to you. Wouldn't you have even a great sensation of desire to want to know what it is he's talking about, you know, when you have no clue?
Well, the thing about my man, he knows me well enough to say, you know what? I don't even need to bring this up because she's going to start tripping.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. All right.
Because it's not
all
a
right.
confession.
That...
It's a thought. You know.
It's a thought, right. It's a thought. All right, Jack, what is your take on this? And then we're going to ask Ms. Blake, how do you avoid that, your thought on that?
But even if it's something that actually happened or if it's a thought, it doesn't matter. Okay, I agree with what Ms. Blake was saying, because sometimes you can't tell people everything. You can't tell humans everything. You have to. That's why we have a superior being. We have to share with him. Now, he, if you're really into the Lord, if you're really into the Bible.
But he already knows that.
Really,
but he already knows. He already knows the superior being.
Oh, yeah. But you're getting, yes, he definitely knows. But you're trying to clear your conscience. You're trying to clear your conscience. And the only way you can do that is by connecting with him. You don't have to tell your significant other that. You take it to God. Now, God, how you want me to handle this? Yeah, of course he already knows, because he knows everything. But how do I handle this? I mean, it's eating away at me. Do I go and tell my spouse? And I agree with what Ms. Blake was saying and all. No, because now there's a trust factor that's coming in now, or insecurity going to come in. I mean, every time you go out, I don't know where you're going. I don't know. You stay a little longer than I think, then she's going to start questioning you and all of that. So that's why sometimes you don't share. You know that you've done wrong. Okay, you know that you've done wrong. So now you got to try to get forgiveness for it. And you're getting forgiveness from God, because he's our source of strength. He's everything. So we got to go to him for
it.
That's how I see it.
But, Jack, let me ask you this. You're getting forgiveness from God, but you have yet to set it right with your significant other, because that's the one who you not only violated God's principle, but you've also violated the marriage. So
now you can go to your significant other and you can say this to them. You know, I've done something that's out of the ordinary, out of my character and all. And I just want to say to you that I'm coming to you and asking you forgiveness, but I don't really want to share this with you. If they say something to you, well, I need you to tell me what happened. Then you can tell them. But some people will say to you, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Wow.
That's between you and God. But I'm glad that you came to me to share that with me and all. But I don't want to know, because it's going to hurt me more so for you to tell me than for me to hear it. Okay, so I'll forgive you. We'll pray about it, and let's move on.
It's excellent.
All right,
Dr. Walker,
I'd
say really quickly, and Jack is right on point, because in my 20s, I would have been that woman that, what was it? I want to know every detail. But I'm older and wiser now, and I know in my 50s, that guess what? I can't handle the truth.
That's right.
But then, Ms. Blake, I'm sorry. I got to keep it real here. I believe, I hear what you and Jack are saying, and the wisdom is set in. You know, as we get older, we believe that. And the thing is, I still say the curiosity is going to bother you as much as to not knowing. Okay,
not really. You know why?
Not really.
You know why?
That's right.
Because we already know.
That's right.
A woman knows in her
point.
Spirit.
That's right.
I dare to say, women out there whose husbands are cheating on them and they're connected to God, they already know.
That's right.
Well, that's an interesting point. That's an interesting
point.
What about the man?
And the same way with the man. He would know as well. Right. It happens on both sides of the coin. You're absolutely right.
All right, let's bring Rose in. Rose, give us your take. Do you think the woman connected to God, she already knows, and the man that's connected to God already knows? Or is this an equal opportunity thing here?
I don't know about the man, but
I like you, Rose. I was thinking the same thing.
What do you mean you don't know about the man? What do you mean you don't know about the man? Of course the man knows.
I just didn't want to know, Jack. Come on.
The woman normally knows, okay? The woman always really knows. And she might not say anything about it, but it's not because she doesn't know. She just don't want. It's like if she doesn't let you know that you know, it's like she don't know. And so I can't explain it, but if you open up and tell her, then that just makes it worse. Okay,
right. You don't want to hurt.
I think that men. I'm going to say men because I'm not sure how it goes the other way. But I think men, they get this guilty feeling and they want to push that off onto the wife now, okay, just so that they can feel free, all right? And then pushing that off to the wife, now she's all hurt. And like Ms. Blake said, now she might feel some kind of resentment for one and have some kind of complex with her self-esteem, you know, because now she knows that, okay, he done this. But now the man is all free because now he's still his guts And now he sees, like, hey, the guilt is off of me now. But now he pushed all of that on her. I don't think that's fair, you know?
Right.
I think that that's a, you go to God. You go to God, you pray, you ask God, you tell God what you did. Yes, I know God already know, but you need to talk to him so that you could probably get this feeling of freedom after you talk to God. And, you know, just leave her out of that. She don't really need to know that.
I am really confused, right. But Jack, just before you know, I bring out my confusion part here. I want to say, could it be that the women think they know? And
yeah, that's true too.
We know, Dr. Walker. We know.
Miss Blake, it could be that it's just the simulation that you think you know. And I mean, because I hear women say it all the time. We know.
Yeah, we're not a fly on the wall, but God gives us discernment. He gives you a discernment of spirit when your significant other is cheating on you or something to that effect. He'll let you know about your children, even when it's something dealing with your children. If you connect it to the vine, is what I'm saying. If you connect it to it, then he will reveal it to you, so you won't be in the dark. He's already giving you that insight. Okay, this is what's happening now. You're not a fly on the wall, so you're not actually there. But you know something is going on, and you're troubled by it. You're troubled by it. So you never know. The significant other might go to that spouse and say that something's going on. I just feel it within me. God is revealing something to me. But I need you. Now, if you want to know, you can find out. But if not, whatever's happening, you need to go to God and let him direct your path with it and all. And that's how we really have to look at it. That's it. Those things that Rose was saying, I had said earlier, you know, but you have to give it to God and allow God to direct you. Let him direct you.
And of course, I respect everybody's opinions, and I just want to throw this out there. I think it becomes vitally important that you also set it right with your significant other and let them, give them that option to decide what they want to do. I'm going to ask everybody to stand by. We're going to go to the phone lines once again. We've got some callers, and we're going to ask you to bear with us. We're going to go to 305-684. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us? And we're going to go to 954-417. We know you've been waiting. We're going to get to you right after this call. 305-684, thank you for joining us. Who do we have on the air today?
Hey, Mr. Walker. Dr. Walker. This is Tim.
Hi, Tim. Welcome to the show this evening. Tim, we're talking about lusting outside your relationship leads to destruction. And we've had various views, perspectives on here. What are your thoughts, Tim?
Well, my thought, first of all, yeah, you and Jack, y'all sitting here arguing with these women. You know, women always right, no matter what's going on. So y'all stop arguing with them, or even fussing back. And just let them win, because we as men know, it's okay to go ahead on and lust after other women. Just don't. These women don't. Y'all don't lust after other men. Y'all supposed to bow down to y'all husband, do what they say do, and be quiet and let it go. Okay. So stop arguing with them. Let them win the argument, because we already know how it is. Ain't that right, Rose?
Okay. I see that Tim is acting up right now.
because I'm right.
All right, Tim, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second, and we're going to go to another phone line. We're going to go to 954-417. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome. 954-417. All right, we'll come back to that caller. All right, let me go over. We're going to take some of the comments that are coming in relative to tonight's show. If you're just joining us, once again, tonight's topic is how lusting outside the relationship leads to destruction. Our characters in tonight's broadcast are Vicky and Willis. They've been married just over 3 years, and Willis has had 3 affairs on her. You know, he actually cheated on her while they were dating, and he's had 2 affairs on her since they've been married. Now, she's known about this because he's gone to her, and she's forgiven him for those 2 affairs, and even during the time when they were dating, and she's also just realized that she loves her husband, but she's had enough, and now she's threatened to move on with her life, and I agree. I think it's time for her to move on. So that's kind of a recap of what's going on in tonight's broadcast. Let me take some of the comments. And, Ms. Blake, we're going to give you this first comment. This male writes in, he says, in reference to how lusting outside your relationship leads to destruction,
I know this topic oh so well. This is what happened to me on more than one occasion. I lost three of my best relationships to lusting outside my relationships. Unfortunately, I didn't even learn after I got married a second time. It has destroyed all my relationships, and now I'm haunted, even in my third marriage. It's not worth it, he says. But you think that he could? It could be his father's fault and his play?
It could be his father or his mother. Now, let's kind of just keep it on the men, because okay. It goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm fair. I'm very fair.
So it could be,
but he needs to get to the root of why he continues to do that. And a lot of times I say to people, you know, do you even want to be in a relationship? You know, why don't you just date? You know,
right.
I mean, I think relationships are great, but if you don't want to be committed, then stop committing to people.
Okay. All right. I like that.
Dr. Walker.
If you don't want to be committed, then stop committing to people. Yes, Tim, go ahead. And Jack, I want to give you this question. Tim, we're going to just a second, Tim. And that is, Jack, if it's not all our fault, or not, I'm not saying man or woman, but I'm saying even the man or the woman is not all their fault, and there are generics involved, then we can blame it on the parents. Then can't we just blame everything, you know, in terms of creation?
On the parents.
Can't we just blame everything on Adam and Eve? So, Jack, we're going to come back to you on that, and then
okay.
We'll be done with it and tell God. God, it's not our fault. It's our foreparents' fault that caused all of this. So, you know, so the generations have gone down a long ways from them, and Rose will bring you in on that as well. Tim, go ahead.
Well, it is Adam and Eve's fault. I agree with it because if Eve, that woman, would have listened, we wouldn't have the problems
okay.
we have today. But here's another question, and it's for the ladies. Well, not necessarily for the ladies, but, you know, I hear a lot lately women saying, I don't need a man. I don't need a man. I don't need a man. That's not true. Didn't God design life for man and woman to be together? Somebody can say yes
I
or
think
no.
so. I think
yes,
so.
Correct.
Are you
so why
are
women
Tim? Oh,
I'm asking anybody that well, yeah, you can answer too, Ms. Blake. What do you think?
I'm not one of those ladies. As author of the book Falling in Love with Me, I'm not one of those ladies who says that. And I tell the sisters, y'all need to stop lying.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Rose, what do you think? Thank you so much, Rose. I knew you was going to agree. But anyway, I hear that a lot. I have a friend that's going through a situation with her husband. All of a sudden, she wants a divorce. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. I don't need a man. I don't need a man. I can take care of this. I can do this and I can do that. Somewhere down the line, you need a man. Just like somewhere down the line, we need a woman.
Right.
That's how God designed life.
Right.
Okay. So stop with all that foolishness. I don't need a man. And all this girl's rock stuff, that's promoting that kind of stuff.
Tim, I think that's probably out of frustration a lot of times when a woman says that. She's just frustrated with the men in her life or the men that she have had in her life. And so
mm-hmm.
she just gets so tired that she say, you know what,
mm-hmm.
I don't need a man. I can do this all by myself. But in her heart, she's still hoping that she finds the right one. You know, but sometimes she just gets
mm-hmm.
so frustrated that she just figures, you know what, forget all of you men. I don't need y'all. You know.
Right.
Then
Rose
stop.
Is right. I mean, I say that every
yeah.
other week, probably. not I don't need a man, but, like, I'm tired of men. You know what? But I think also what they mean is a lot of the women who have, you know, have careers, they know that, yes, I can take myself to dinner. I can pay my own bills. And I think that's kind of what they mean. But at the end of the day, they can't give themselves companionship.
Thank you.
Okay.
This friend of mine is constant. I don't need him, Corey. I don't need this. I don't need that. Okay, but then you turn right around. He went away for a couple of days out of town. You turn right around. You know, he didn't call me. I was, you know, I don't need him to be around, but I wonder why he didn't call me.
Wow.
You just contradicted
well,
yourself.
I think Rose touched on it that oftentimes it might be out of emotion, and the truth comes out when a person has calmed down and had time to think about things. Let's go. We're going to actually stand by. 954-417, are you there? 954-417? All right, they're not with us. Jack, we're going to go with that question to you that we posed earlier. If it's a parent's fault, you know, one or the other or both, then can't we just, everything that's happening to us now, maybe the chaos is going on throughout the world, it seems, can we just blame it on Adam and Eve and call it a day?
No, we cannot.
Oh, you are there. 954, who do we have with
us? I'm sorry. I'm having phone difficulties tonight. This is Sean. How are you?
Sean, thank you for joining us. We're doing just great. Well, Sean, we can't just blame Jake. We're going to bring it back to you in a second. But, Sean, just tell us quickly why we can't blame it on Adam and Eve and call it a day.
Because we are mortal agents, and God wants us to make the right decision. I mean, God does not sit back and look at the end result of what we're going to do. He wants us to make the right choice. He can't peek into our future to see exactly what we'll do, but he wants us to make the right choice. And I feel as though that story you were talking about, if somebody continually cheats and cheats and cheats and they don't get the help they need, it's never going to be corrected.
Hmm.
After his third relationship, like Ms. Blade was saying, does he want to be in a committed relationship?
Okay. All right. That makes
That's
sense. Jack, Sean is saying here that we can't just blame Adam and Eve because we're moral agents. And does that infer that Adam and Eve were not moral agents? Give me your take on this. Jack? Okay, Jack, we've obviously lost
Jack. I had it on mute. No, you didn't lose me. I was on mute. Yeah, I heard.
Okay,
go ahead. Yeah, we are moral agents, but Adam and Eve, they were moral agents too, but they were given a test, and they failed the test, you know. A lot of times, I mean, we do have a choice to make. Everything is basically a moral judgment, and everything is basically a test. And it's up to us to, I mean, it's a choice. It's up to us to decide whether we're going to choose the right direction or we're going to choose the wrong direction. A lot of times, sin is sweet, and when we get involved with things, it's like the more we do it, the more we're going to want to do it, and we eventually become immune to the fact that it's something bad that's happening in our life. So what we need to do is we need to consider everything that we're doing, get down on our knees and pray about it and ask the Lord to deliver it from us. And like someone said earlier, if we don't get help, it's just going to continue to get worse and worse. It's just going to get worse and worse. So we have to get help. When the first thing is admitting that there's a problem. And a lot of times people don't want to do that. I don't have a problem. But if we admit that we have a problem, and then after we admit it, then we got to seek help for it and all. And then that's the only way that we're going to be over. That's the only way we're going to be an overcomer.
Well, Jack, let me just quickly ask you here, and we're going to try to take at least four more comments that have come in because we're going to close the show at 8 o'clock. We're not going to do a food for thought tonight. But let me ask you this. When you say we got to admit that we have a problem, who do we admit it to, ourselves? Because, I mean, all I need to do is some self-help, and then I'm okay with that. You know, and that's why I was talking about, I think it becomes important to reach out to your significant other because I think we begin to live a lie when we don't let them know what's happened because God already knows and we're coming to him. But I think that, you know, as the Bible says, when we wronged our brother, that's the person we're supposed to go to. So somebody help me
with
that.
I think everything is not meant to be taken to man. I just have to say that because we don't believe in Darwin's theory of evolution. We don't believe in the Big Bang theory. We believe in special creation. And since he's our creator and he knows everything there is to know about us, then he's the one that we need to consult when we do something wrong. So not to man. If it's something that's going to tear somebody apart, then we need to go to God and ask him to tell us, ask him to share with us or show us what we need to do. Now that's my take. That's what I believe.
But that act of adultery has already torn the relationship apart because now we talk about the lusting. He or she, they're already desiring that other person. We're going to actually stand by, Rose. We're going to go to you real quick. Give us your thoughts.
Well, I'm thinking that, yes, so you lust, and that's a sin, yes. Your spouse have no proof that you did that. He or she probably don't even realize that you were lusting in your mind after someone. So why bring that to his or her attention? You know, ask for forgiveness from God and remove yourself from the situation. You know, try to, in order to get over that feeling. So if you know that if you go to lunch at 12, you're going to see this person in the lunchroom, then do not go and eat in the lunchroom or try to go to lunch at a different time. You're going to try to avoid the situation so that you can get over that feeling. But you don't need to go and bring this problem to your spouse because she has no idea about your lusting in your mind. So I think I agree with others who say, you know, just take it to God, deal with it, and get over it. But there is something else I wanted to respond to about when some of you said that it's generic, and so Willis said that it's his father's. It's his father's fault why he's like this, so it must be, right, Adam and Eve. But we have to realize that there are no sin greater than the other. Everything that is a sin, okay? And we all as human beings have the propensity to sin. It doesn't mean that we need to go out there and sin, okay? So therefore, if Willis inherit this behavior from his father, it doesn't mean that he has to live it, okay? He has to fight it. He has to get help for it and fight through it because it's a sin just like any other sin.
Well, that's an interesting point. We're going to even have a show on that one. I want to throw this in. When you want something, human nature has that. When you want it and then the opportunity provides itself, let me tell you something. If, you know, they say that the success, one of the things about success is when preparation and opportunity meet, you know, that's when success comes. If that woman desires that man, if that man desires her, an opportunity is presented. You're trying to stay out of that cafeteria, but one day let's just keep it real here now. This is just my opinion, and I can be wrong, and I'm hoping I'm wrong. That woman is upset with her husband. She's been upset with him for several days, and this good-looking man has been trying to come on to her. She admires him, and he's already been trying out there. Now, she's going to avoid this play. Come on. Tim, let's bring you in here. Is she going to stay out of that cafeteria? And then Rose will give you an opportunity. Is she going to stay out of that cafeteria? And then we'll bring Sean in here, too.
Of course not. Of course she's coming to that cafeteria.
She's going to enjoy coming to that cafeteria, especially if she's mad at her man. Sean, is she going to stay out of that cafeteria? All right, Sean's not there. We're going to go to Jack. Is she going to stay out of that cafeteria? All right, Sean, is she going to stay out of that cafeteria?
Probably not.
Dang, is she going to stay out of that cafeteria?
Well, same thing Sean said. Probably not. You said that her significant other has been getting on her nerves, and she's tired of him, the way that he's carrying on. So she's probably going to fix herself up real nicely that day and go in the cafeteria purposely to look for him, you know, and see if he will give her some attention or whatever. And then the minute that he puts his eyes on her, then, you know, adultery, I mean, that lusting and that part comes into effect. That's why I'm saying that you have to ask God to help you to be overcome with that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's something that you probably inherited from your parents or whomever at all, but you're no match for that. And I keep saying that. We're no match for the enemy when we parlay on his territory at all. We can't overcome it on our own. We have, I mean, some people, it takes years. It takes years of overcoming some addictions that you have and all. And the only way you can do it is by asking God to help you with it all.
Exactly.
And He will help you.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Ms. Blake, she's not going to stay out of that cafeteria. I'm sorry. I know we don't always agree. Rose, she's not going to stay out of that cafeteria.
You know what? We have to have faith. But faith without work is dead. Right? We all agreed on that before, I'm sure. So, yes, I believe, I agree with Jack. You got to pray about it. You can't do it without prayer, but you got to do the work also, okay? You have to make a conscious effort to stay away from that person that you know you're lusting after. And the Bible also tells us that if before we sin, if we call on him, he can help us to not go through with the sin that we probably desire in our mind. So, if we're not connected to God, of course, right. But if we stay connected to him and we really believe it, he can help us through it.
Rose, I really believe, Ms. Blakey, we're going to bring you back in here. We want to get to the four more of these comments, and we're going to just go a little bit more, longer than usual, around another 5 to 7 minutes. I want to say, that woman is not, I don't think, this is just public opinion. She's not staying out of that cafeteria. She's mad at her husband. She's looking for, like Jack said, she's looking for that attention. And then, you know, she's connected to God, but then what she's going to do is, after she goes through that act, she's going to be like, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. Then the guilt may come in at that point. The guilt will come in, but it's after the fact. Now you have opened up a completely larger amount of worms, and you all see, you see Lifetime movies all the time that emulate this. No, God is not wrong. I don't believe, you know, you see this all the time where they go just, you know, they test those waters out there because of their human desire. And once they do, even at one time, now they want to stop it, and that other party doesn't want to stop it. Now you got a larger can of worms. You know, to the point where somebody gets hurt and some of this stuff, and not always just emotionally, emotional pain, but it can also lead to physical things that happen, and we see that all the time on the news. We've got some more comments. Ms. Blake, you want to come in and say anything? Jack, just before I try to take these other four comments.
I agree with everything. I agree with everything, and I definitely think that the temptation will be there to get with that person or to get their attention.
Okay, so now I go back to the thought about lusting, and I say, how do you avoid? How do you avoid? And then basically all I say is, you know, when you see it coming on, you just dispel that from your mind. I think Jack covered that earlier. That you never start it. That's the most powerful weapon that you have, because otherwise that human emotion, the enemy is going to play tricks with you, especially knowing that you're, you know, he's angry about marriages anyway. Especially when you're mad with your significant other. Jack, give me your thoughts on that.
I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly and all. Now, even though we know that it's the wrong thing to do, it happens all the time. So now the problem has to be fixed. The problem has to be, we know that it's wrong from the beginning. And like I said earlier, the more you do it, the more you're going to want to do it. But when you come to reality and when the rubber meets the road, when you want to stop it, you can't do it on your own because you don't have the power to overcome. So you have to ask for help. That's the only way that you will be able to overcome that is by asking for help.
All right, just quickly, was Willis wrong? Was Willis wrong when he told Vicki that he had had these affairs? Was he wrong? And I heard Rosa say earlier he took the pressure off of himself, and then the pressure now becomes on that woman. Was he wrong to have done that? Or should he just kept it to himself and taken it to God and say, God, forgive me? Until the next time.
I think he should have asked for direction on how should I handle this. I think he should have consulted the Lord about how can I handle this. I don't know how to handle this. I'm just overwhelmed with guilt. So how do I handle this? And the Lord would have directed him to do that. And if the Lord directed him to go to his significant other, he could have gone to her and told her. And then she handled it.
All right, we're going to wrap up in about 2 minutes, and I'm going to give this comment to Sean. And then we'll give the next one to Tim. Right? We'll give this one to Sean. Sean, this call. All right, we're getting Sean, are you with us?
I'm here.
All right, we're getting background. You might be listening to it on the radio. It's coming in. All right, we'll pause. We're going to hold Sean for a second. We'll come back because we're getting some static. Tim, we're going to give this first one to you. Tim, this male writes in, he says, my wife and I broke up over this very issue. She, in fact, had roaming eyes where she just had to see every man in the building, even if we were in church. I couldn't take it anymore and decided to divorce her. I know I did the right thing because since our divorce, she's always been lusting, and she has divorced now for a second time, and I found out it was for the same thing. Do people ever learn? Tim, do people ever learn?
Yeah, I think people learn. I think there's a chance for everybody to learn. You go through a situation sometimes. Sometimes you can hurt the person that you love so much. You don't want to put her through that situation again. So you learn from it. You pray and you ask God to help you with your issues or whatever. And you know, his divorcing her because she had roaming eyes. Was she having an affair? Was she just looking? I mean, she's not dead, so she's going to...
Well, he probably felt disrespected. He probably felt disrespected, Tim. Let me ask you, Tim.
if your significant other is just constantly looking with roaming eyes, no matter where you all are, would you feel disrespected, Tim, and this was a constant behavior?
Not really, because I'm going to look too.
Okay, you're going to look and disrespect her. I'm going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to
I'm not looking. I'm not going
go
to look to disrespect her like that.
Okay. All right, let me go to Jack. Jack, what would you say in a matter like that? I mean, here's this guy wrote in his comment, you know, and she did it a second time, and that second husband, obviously, I mean, nobody, not a man or a woman that I know on this earth that's in a relationship would ever want to be disrespected by their significant other because you claim to love that person. What do you think? Do you think this guy was wrong?
But Tim had a point, though, because he said that, you know, she's not dead and she's going to look. But
right.
I'm with you on that, too, about you don't want to be disrespected. And I'm out with my significant other, and then, you know, a nice-looking young man come in or whatever, and she's looking him up and down like she's lusting for him and all. Then my problem will be to her, I mean, you like what you see? I mean, I would say that to her. You like what you see? If you like what you see, you need to go over there and be with them and all. But so you got to put it to people sometimes and let them know. I'm not saying that she's dead or whatever, and she sees and she could come to me and say to me, you know, like, oh, I think that's a nice looking guy there. What do you think? I said, well, I don't look at men. That's the first thing I would say. But if she said to me, that's a nice look.
Mm-hmm. But then my question becomes, what's the difference? The person disrespecting you by lusting, which is what Willis did with Vicky, and she had enough. So I mean, it almost sounds kind of contradictive here, because now the issue becomes, okay, she's not dead, as Tim says, so she looks or he looks, he's not dead, but disrespecting that significant other, I think anybody that's worthy of disrespecting that significant other, because we talk about the commitment, then why get married in the first place, or why be with somebody if you're going to disrespect them?
There's
and
I think between lusting
okay.
and looking, there's a difference between lusting
right.
and looking.
Correct, because you didn't say she was disrespecting him. She was looking at all the
right,
whatever.
Right, that's right.
You can't get married
right.
because she's looking, because you see a nice-looking woman, I'm sure you're going to look at her, and, you know, you might say it in your head, wow, she's pretty. You're not going to say it out loud to your wife or, you know, oh, my goodness, mm-hmm. look at her. She's gorgeous. She's awesome. You know, that kind of stuff.
But I'm,
you're not going to do that.
But what I'm asking is, are we really hearing what we're saying? You got your significant other. You're sitting at the table, whether it's a man or a woman, somebody who keeps walking by. Those even, this is probably a whole nother show, Miss Blake. You know, your significant other, somebody
right.
keeps walking by. They don't have your attention, but we'll make that another show. Let me go ahead and try to take these last three comments, and I'm going to ask you if you all speak to them for about 10 seconds, because I got to close the show. This female writes in. Sean, are you with us? All right. We can't seem to get Sean. Rose, we'll give it to you then. This female writes in. She says, my husband cheated on me twice during our marriage that I found out about. He probably did it more than that, except that's the number of times I found out. I knew he was flirtatious, but had no idea he would take it to another level and lusting like he did. I still wonder why some men have and show little respect for the woman they claim to love. What do you think, Rose?
I don't know. They just want it all. They're DOGs, but you know, that's unfortunate that he cheated on her two times. It depends on how much she can take. Earlier, I heard Jack and Miss Blake said that it depends on how much the person can take. So if she has had enough, then she needs to move on, you know, or if she chooses to forgive him and give him another chance, then that's really how she feels. But she needs to be careful. She needs to protect herself, protect her heart.
Okay. All right. Jay, we're going to give you this comment, and then Ms. Blake, we'll give you the last one. Let's see here. This comment is from a male. He says, I used to be that guy that would flirt and lust after anything they had on a short skirt or a dress. After I contracted STD on a couple occasions, I knew it was time to stop my foolishness. I think I'm a better person today because of it. Is he a better person because he caught the sexually transmitted disease, Jack, or because of his experience, or a combination? What do you think?
Yeah, see, they say that experience is the best teacher, but I beg to differ that experience is the best teacher.
I think once we learn from that experience, that's the best teacher in all. And he's learned from that. Now, I don't know whether he would have stopped being flirtatious had he not contracted that STD, but at least he learned from his mistake, and then he moved on. So I think learning from the experience is the best teacher.
All right. Okay. Ms. Blake, we're going to give you the last comment and allow you to go ahead and end the show for this evening. And remember, you all, next week's topic will be, could the grass be greener on the other side? Could it actually, in fact, be greener on the other side? This female, she writes in, she says, I have a rule that I think a lot of people should consider subscribing to, and that is, don't do something that you would not want your significant other to do. It's as simple as that. Ms. Blake, is it as simple as that?
I think that's profound advice, and I give a lot of props to that person that wrote that comment. That's great advice. I think that's good enough to close the show. Don't do anything
right,
to someone else that you wouldn't want them to do to you.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspiration program. Of course, you bypass this Friday. Join us next Tuesday once again when the topic will be, could the grass be greener on the other side? All right. Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say my listening audience around the world, good night. God bless, and thank you, God.